Okay, this next one takes some explaining. It is probably the most complex single movement that Johann Sebastian Bach ever wrote, and it is the opening chorus of the St. Matthew Passion. Now, you're probably thinking, well, that's Good Friday music and all that. But when you think about it, Good Friday and Easter are basically church feasts that are celebrated around the beginning of spring, so it's appropriate to play it, probably more appropriate to play it in a couple of weeks from now. But anyway, this first movement, and don't worry about the word, basically they tell the city of Jerusalem to start weeping and wailing because something sad is about to happen. But it is written for two entirely different choirs and orchestras. And Bach wanted one to be on the left and the other to be on the right, or at least separated in space. And in the middle was supposed to be a small choir of kids. And at that time, it would be a small choir of little boys. For this recording, John Elliott Gardiner has used a choir of mixed boys and girls from an elementary school, and they do a great job. And so the chorus starts with churning orchestral music, and then the choir on the left starts singing, and then it says, "Look, see, behold," and the other choir says, "Who?" And then the first choir says again, "It is the bridegroom," which is a reference to Jesus. And then they see him there. And then the other choir says, "Where?" And they say, he's coming, or something like that. And then after this back and forth goes on, remember now this, in the early part of the chorus, the second choir only interjects with single words, "Where? Who? When?" And then the little choir of children sings, "O Lamb of God Unsullied." So you can hear this left choir and orchestra, the right choir and orchestra, and in the middle, the choir of kids, backed by the organ, supposedly playing softly. Anyhow, so that's a lot to understand before hearing this. So that's what you're going to hear next.
Thank you.
Okay, this is just a tie-in to last week's program where we played the Beatles singing Money, That's What I Want. The group that I was thinking about was the Flying Lizards, whom I had never heard of until I heard them. I was sitting in a car waiting for someone when the Carnegie Mellon students radio station came on with this song, and it was haunting me for a long time. And it was almost like 15 years later that I discovered who the band was, because I mean, we didn't have Google back in, you know, the time when I was listening to the song at first. So here it is, the Flying Lizards giving the song Money, That's What I Want, their best shot.
In life for free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money, that's what I want, that's what I want, that's what I want. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. Everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money.
Speakers in a correctly trained system.
This next piece is a very significant and intriguing composition by the American composer Charles Ives. Now, Charles Ives was a very important American composer. He, I think, studied at Yale and he also taught there. And he wrote this composition, and it has a long and elaborate history, called The Unanswered Question. And it seems like he's trying to represent something that's very complex, but he didn't explain what was going on in the song. But it seems like almost within the reach for various people to explain it for themselves. And some of the instruments are asking a question, and something else is either answering it or not answering it, as the case may be. And so it's up to you to interpret it. And all great pieces of art are like this. You get to interpret it any way that seems reasonable to you. So here is Charles Ives, The Unanswered Question.